WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
You don't hear the music as much. I mean, it's not, you can't hear any intricate patterns.
It's really like a party with the music in the background. And I notice, I don't go to that many Spectrum shows, but when I do, I'm 30 years old, and I'm one of the older people there by far. And there were a lot of people in their early teens, depending on what the act is, depending on who it is. I went to see Yes, and they were older. People were older in the audience. They were paying more attention, but a lot of definitely the hard rock shows are big parties.
A lot of rock albums now are extremely highly produced and are really bear the trademark of the person who produced the album as well as the band performing on it. How does that carry over into concerts?
It's hard to say because I get kind of cynical about this because I see rock acts a lot. It's just being marketed in a certain way. And sometimes stage shows will turn me off because they're so slick, and like the album is slick. And other times you'll find somebody who is an authentic, I guess he is, maybe he's fooling me, an authentic rocker, and who will come across as an honest show. But you do have to make the show big for those venues, for the Spectrum. You've got to make the show look big. Lighting has to be spectacular.
I think it's dangerous, though, David, to worry too much about, you know, how slick a group is. You know, if you let that get in the way of your enjoyment of the act, look at Motown. Motown was a huge influence in music, and that was the slickest thing going. They'd put all the Motown artists in a bus and travel around and overproduce.
I didn't enjoy it. I just maybe didn't trust it sometimes. I mean, I give into it all the time. That wasn't my point.
And mine is that I think it's important to give into it if it makes you feel like
it. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we've got someone on the telephone, and if you'd like to get through, our number is 923-2774. There are open lines. We're talking about rock and rock radio. My guests are Gary Bridges of WYSP, Michael Picozzi of WMMR, and David Dye of WIOQ. We invite you to call and ask any questions or comments. Hi, this is Fresh Air. You're on the air.
Hi, I was calling to ask the DJs how much freedom they get with their programming.
Gary, how much freedom do you have to program?
I have the freedom to choose from about 800 pre-selected albums and groups that are in the studio. I pick and choose from a selection that's been made. I know it's a small library, but I can choose within that.
At WMMR, we've got lots of records in one room, and the older ones are way in the back. But if I can run back there between two records, I can do it.
It's great. I choose. I'm directed to certain categories, and those categories are pretty broad. And there's a lot of records in it. Some are not there, but as far as older records, I can play pretty much. I can select my show at this point, which is good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks a lot for calling.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. We've got some more people on the phone. Hi. This is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to ask Picozzi a question.
Oh, yes.
No, Michael.
Where do you think the direction of music is really headed for, huh?
Pick me, huh? The direction of music?
Yeah.
I can cover that real quick. Where the direction of music... I assume we're talking about rock music.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. It kind of travels around. Hopefully radio stations, and since that's what we're talking about, are able to experiment a little bit and try things out and see if it works. I remember some stations, I think MMR was one of them, I wasn't here then, decided that reggae was the thing and got into it very heavily. And then all of a sudden they just dropped it. But the reason they dropped it seemed to be people were turned off by it. And as long as we can keep experimenting, we can kind of follow wherever it goes. But basically, radio is there to entertain. And so it's whatever people like. And we kind of listen to phones and figure out what people want to hear.
Let me ask our caller where you think the direction of rock is heading.
I think it's headed towards punk, baby.
Okay.
I'm a punker.
Right. Okay, thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Hi, this is Fresh Air. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm sort of similar to the last viewer in that... Number one, when I go up to Boston, And I listen to rock. In fact, I haven't listened to rock and roll here probably since 72. I don't really listen to MMR or YSP. And when I go up to Boston, I hear, let's say, new wave, I hear punk, I hear a mixture of old soul, I hear reggae. And I just heard one of the gentlemen say it wasn't popular here. But I'm just kind of bored with the rock and roll here. I don't find it too exciting. I don't find too much what I call new rock and roll. I hear Kiss, and I hear Yes, and I hear more of a heavy metal, which to me personally bores me. I don't find it too interesting or exciting. And maybe, you know, one of my friends said, well, Boston can play this. They have more college stations. It's more college-oriented. But I was wondering why they aren't getting into this new wave or punk or different forms of rock and roll.
Boston is a very peculiar market, and they get away with a lot of things that don't seem to work in other markets. I happen to, in many ways, agree with you. I love radio in Boston. I love what you really love. Am I right in assuming that what you love is the mix of a lot of different stuff?
Yes. There was this one guy I don't even know called Oedipus.
Mm.
Are you familiar with him?
Yeah.
Well, this is just, you know, from having been there and turning on, but the mix is wonderful. I mean, all of a sudden I come from here not listening to rock and roll too much, and I go up there and I find, hey, I'm excited by it again. I'm turned on by the music. And when I come back to Philadelphia, I don't get that same sense listening to the stations.
I think a lot of it is the listenership in that city, quite frankly. And also, to take it a step further, Oedipus is on WBCN, and they're getting whipped right now by a very, very tight record, a tight station that's playing 300 records.
Right.
Which is sad, but true.
Okay, well, we want to get to some other callers, but thanks a lot for calling.
Sure thing.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, this is Fresh Air. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to know how the DJs feel about playing rock and roll music, which has little or no content, where one piece is practically indistinguishable from the next. Isn't it a sort of a prostitution, you know, catering to the lowest form of entertainment?
I see. You are a dyed-in-the-wool rock fan, I see.
And don't they wish they were playing something else?
Well, there we go, gentlemen. Don't you wish you were...
Oh, no.
No. That's certainly an interesting question.
Do you feel that rock is redundant the way it is now?
No, I think like anything else, it's an untrained ear, or someone who hasn't listened to a lot of rock and roll, in, you know, attentively. It's like saying that black people or Chinese people or whatever ethnic culture all look alike. You know, if you don't pay much attention, you're right, it kind of does. But, you know, within each of the songs, you know, there's a personality that makes it stand out to people, that makes it a hit, that puts it on the radio.
Certainly, I've heard that said about every form of music. All classical music sounds alike. Oh, all jazz sounds alike. How can you listen to it? Well, thanks a lot for calling.
All right. Yeah, heard one, heard them all. Right. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Before we get to some other phone calls, we're all here sitting in the middle of what's called the ARB rating period. And that's the period, it's like the Nielsen's in TV, where everybody tallies up how many people you've got viewing or listening. And it's a very serious time for all broadcasters, because mm-hmm. when the results come in, everybody's called to account for the ratings that they do or don't have. And people have been known to be fired for these kinds of things. How seriously do you take the numbers that you get, Gary? Do you believe it when the ARBs come in? Do you believe that that's really an indication of the number of people who are listening?
Yeah, I do. I do pretty much. I think that they do a fairly good job of assessing the audience. But I'm not nearly so nervous about it as I used to be.
Why not?
We've gone to a prolonged sweep now. It used to be that all of your ratings depended on 4 weeks every quarter. And you'd have all of the stations thinking for months and months ahead about what kind of promotions they could do, what outlandish thing they could do to attract people, and how they can rearrange the music to just, you know, coax an extra minute or two of listening here and there. And now they've gone to a system of sampling the audience 48 out of the 52 weeks a year. And it's wonderful. You don't have to be hyping all the time. You know, I think for a change, it'll really come down to how good a job you're doing entertaining the audience you're after.
It's 48 weeks of the year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are the 4 weeks that they're not doing
Christmas.
Christmas.
Michael, you've had to deal with ARBs both as a programmer and as a program director, which is what you were at one time. Now, did you regard the ARBs differently in the capacity of program director or as programmer?
Well, I don't really believe in them all that much. I don't think that it's, unfortunately, it's the only system there is. There have been a lot of other rating companies that have tried, but ARB is the only, that stands for Arbitron, is the only one that has managed to survive. And they use a shaky system, and they don't. What it is briefly is you're contacted from a phone book.
You got to have a phone.
You got to have a phone in order to be contacted. Areas with a lot of colleges, all those students that make up a lot of the population and spend a lot of the money in the area and help the area out, et cetera, aren't even considered. I think that they have changed. Do you know anything about that? They have changed some of that.
They're trying to. I don't know.
Get unlisted. Yeah. And you're given a diary, and it lasts for about a week each time. And it was a four-week period, and you just write down whatever station you listen to for however long it is. And they only serve, I think, I don't know the exact numbers. I haven't dealt with it here, but it's, you know, a minuscule amount of people. And then if all the, say, 18 to 24 males that are filling them out, if a lot of them don't feel like they feel like filling them out or don't fill them out and don't send them back in, whatever 18 to 24 males do, they balance that off with the population. So in other words, if only one person, 18 to 24 male, sends a diary back, they assume that all 18 to 24 males listen to whatever he was listening to.
No.
Yes.
But they would throw the sample out if only one person.
Yeah, that's an example of how it works. The sample is never that small, but it's not that large considering the population of Philadelphia, whatever it might be. I think there's only 2,000 diaries covering all age groups.
Each book counts for a lot of people, and program directors have been known to go down to Maryland, to the headquarters of Arbitron, and go over all the books to find out maybe a couple books that belong to them and you know, try to help their ratings somehow. But Arbitron is a little arbitrary in that you have to, some people don't identify the stations very well, or they will give some phrase that is
I remember when I was working at a public station in Buffalo, we had no sports programming, and we didn't have news on the hour or weather on the hour. And when our ARBs would come in, maybe it was just an independent survey, but what was the favorite program was sports and
yeah,
and news and weather, which we didn't have. So I felt like this needed to be distrusted. It actually wasn't ARB. It was some kind of independent survey that the station had hired, but it
Joe's
seemed highly
service.
Unreliable, really. Michael, did you ever fire anyone because of bad ratings?
No, I didn't hold that. If somebody sounded very good and they were a fine employee and people seemed to call up and like them, then there was no reason to fire anybody. They might be good for a trend, the rating books, after a year or so, which would be four in this market, four separate rating periods. If someone is continually dropping audience, then probably something would have to be done, somebody or a station. But as far as just one single rating period or even a string of them, I don't believe in them that much.
David, do you know anyone who was fired simply because of the ratings, and that was very clear that was the reason?
What usually happens if a station starts to tumble, I mean, goes down in three or four books, it's very often the program director will be the one who gets fired. And then,
but he takes everybody with him.
Right. And that happens too often, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the hazards of being in radio. But disc jockeys, it's very hard to single out, mainly because most disc jockeys' shows overlap a period in Michael's in the morning doesn't. They can tell very well how he's doing. But Gary and I, we overlap two periods of rating, and if they were, it's very hard to tell who's at fault, you know, or if it is a disc jockey, maybe it's the music. And I don't know how important, you know, a disc jockey is compared to the music. That's a good question too. I mean, that would be interesting to get some facts on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if you're just joining us, we're talking about rock radio, and I have three guests with me. Just speaking was David Dyer of WIOQ. With me also is Michael Picozzi of WMMR and Gary Bridges of WYSP. And we're inviting you to call with any questions or comments that you have. The three of my guests were with us about a month ago on Fresh Air, and since everyone after the interview said to me, gee, you know, but I really wanted to ask them about whatever, I figured it would be interesting to have everybody come back and give everyone a chance to ask whatever you wanted to and to open up the telephones. So let's return to the telephones now. Hi, this is Fresh Air, and you're on the air.
Hello. You were talking about the program director. I just wanted to know if, to each one of these, does the program director give out a certain amount of records to play, or is it like more of a freelance thing where you can play whatever you want to?
Again, the program director and music director together make a selection of certain groups that he would like to have us play. I think this is pretty much the same for everyone. You know, the kinds of things we'll play are predetermined, and the specific songs that we'll play from those areas are up to us.
It's for all three.
The program director kind of sets up the tone of the station. We wouldn't play any Frank Sinatra, no matter how good old Frank is. We don't play it. And the program director kind of determines that on a more specific basis.
All right, one more question. With the popularity of the new wave music, do you think it'll continue or do you think it'll die?
Oh, I just see new wave as rock and roll music by small bands and reflecting the 1980s, and I think it'll continue.
Are you still there?
He left.
Okay, then. Thank you for calling. A number of our callers have asked questions about New Wave, so let's talk about New Wave a little bit. Do you feel like your stations are receptive to New Wave? Is there a formal policy about what can and what can't be played by New Wave bands, and if somebody's got to be on a major label if they're to get any airplay?
You know, you're asking for semantics trouble just saying New Wave.
What is New Wave?
Yeah, exactly. Most of the bands who are purported to play New Wave would never call themselves New Wave bands. And you see bands who are appearing with the New Wave guys that their record company has hung on them, who two albums later come out and say, oh no, we were never New Wave. You know, so getting away from the name, if it's rock and roll, if it sounds good, if it goes well on the radio and people like it, we'll play it.
I can name names.
Right.
There are some bands who like the Sex Pistols. I mean, they'd be new wave or punk, whatever you'd want to call them when mm-hmm. they were all alive. did they ever get any airplay on your stations or?
Well, I'll tell you,
a band someone like Elvis Costello.
Back then, WIOQ was very different, and I think they were probably the only people in town who were playing the Sex Pistols. Didn't do very well playing that. Now we don't play a lot of that kind of music, but there's certain acts that definitely smaller labels that don't, and when they do have a major label support, it helps.
Well, what kind of a reaction have you felt that the industry is giving to New Wave? Because as you said, Gary, suddenly everybody's being dressed in New Wave-type costumes for their album jacket covers, whether or not they're playing what you might consider to be New Wave music. It seems like the rock industry has taken a different attitude about New Wave.
Kind of the way bands are marketed. At first, New Wave was kind of, oh, that's punk. It wasn't New Wave then, it was punk. Mm. We don't do anything like that. And a couple of, it began getting very popular, especially in New York, and record companies said, well, let's put some records out and see. And then it worked. And so then they started grabbing everybody who was different in any kind of way and calling it a New Wave band. They're the latest thing. And record companies do that. They don't do any research, really. They just kind of throw stuff out and see what happens and then try to sell you on it. And they started marketing everybody as New Wave acts. And then there was a backlash. Some people said, audience said, we don't like New Wave. And then they jumped back and said, well, this isn't New Wave, this is rock. And there might be something that is very good musically and fits in very well with what any of the stations are playing. And if you call it New Wave, half the people won't like it right away. And if you don't call it New Wave, the other half might not like it. So we definitely, back to the semantics, we try to stay away from the labels. If it's good music, it's good music, and we'll try and play it rather than label it something and have people dislike it immediately because of a label.
Okay, let's go back to the telephones. Hi, this is Fresh Air. You're on the air.
Okay. I'd first like to start out by saying that I am primarily a listener of non-commercial radio.
Here.
My type of station is like XPN, RTI, UHY, or KDU. But the question I want to ask you is, in your spare time, what type of music do you listen at, and what type of radio do you listen at? Another thing I'd like to ask you is, other forms of music like jazz, classical, ethnic music, Latin music, and what have you, what are your impressions of this type of music, and would you, if you had your choice, quite naturally, I know that you don't have the choice of what you play to a certain extent, but if you had your choice, would you like to play some of these types of music?
Sure. Yep. Absolutely. And I do listen to a real wide variety. I'll listen to a Jimmy Rogers record, and then I'll listen to a, you know, this week I was playing some old Miles Davis, and then I'll play a lot of, shall we dare call it, new wave music. I'll bounce around. Absolutely. Radio is really segmented as to a type of music. It's apparently, I don't really know if this is true, but they haven't been able to get a large number of people to support a station that was completely diverse.
Uh-huh. What do you listen to at home, Mike?
I think a lot of people in radio have the same thing. I don't get sick of rock music ever, but I tend to play everything just to get a wider base and just to listen to different things. People in radio, it's strange. What most people do to relax, and that's maybe listen to records or go to concerts, we do for our job. And so we end up doing completely varied and different things. Also, radio is a business. We're in commercial radio. Say you listen to non-commercial radio. Radio is a business, and we those ratings really mean a lot. I mean, maybe we won't get fired, but we have to get lots of audience. And if we get real eclectic and start playing some Latin and stuff, while we would enjoy it and you would enjoy it, overall, we'd kind of lose that mainstay, that big lump of people that we have that keeps us in business. So unfortunately, we have to limit it a little bit.
Gary, if you were programming your ideal show, what kind of music might you be playing?
Just what I play. Just what I play. Rock and roll.
So that's what you listen to most?
No. No, I listen to old rhythm and blues and country music primarily when I'm not working, or listening to rock and roll.
As far as radio listening, sometimes I think that radio, people who work in radio are the most restless listeners. Because I know a lot of people who like drive in the car with their arm on the tuner, just switching from station to station. Though I think a lot of people in the car listen to radio that way, just moving along till you hit on something that you want to stay with, and when that ends, moving along to the next one.
I'm very frustrated. I don't have buttons. I have to.
To have to do it manually.
Right.
See, I think cars may have been one of the real formative things that's happened to radio. Is radio is very segmented, very fragmented. All the stations specialize in playing a specific kind of music. We used to have lots of magazine format stations in every market, but it's gotten to depend on people listening, you know, on real statistical basis. How many minutes do they listen to us? How many minutes do they listen to them? So by specializing in one thing, you create an identity that allows people to know what to hear when they punch your button, and hopefully you try to be the button they punch. People don't stick with you through things they don't like.
Okay, did we get to your question, sir?
So that basically was answered, I guess, as best as possible. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. Hi, this is Fresh Air. You're on the air.
Hi. I'd just like to find out, do you think a major market like Philadelphia could ever support a commercial jazz station? I know RVR in New York went off the air about a month ago.
Yeah, they just became an all-country station.
Well, we can't help that. And I know that commercial radio is dabbling in jazz, and I know non-commercial radio devotes a lot of time to jazz. Can Philadelphia ever support a full-time commercial jazz station?
First of all, in order for a radio station to survive, it has to make money. And it seems they make money by selling time to advertisers. Somebody says, I want my message, come to my store on your radio station. And when you deal in a specialized format like that, the audience is small. And if you can find enough businesses that only want to sell their wares to the audience that just listens to the jazz station, it works. But, I mean, if it can't work in New York City, it's rough.
I think you also have to ask what you mean by jazz. Like, I'm not spending much time in New York, but my understanding was that at RVR for its last period of existence, that much of the jazz that was played was the most saleable, most commercial form of jazz, and that many jazz listeners might actually be very frustrated by a constant diet of the music played on that station.
But it was less offensive, I found, in certain of the party stations, as I keep hearing the overturn party, and even in its worst format, I found it to be more palatable. Say, even at night, though, they would go back into a traditional jazz format.
You know, in New York now, there's it's actually located in New Jersey, but it's picked up in New York. There's a public station, BGO, and I think they're going all jazz because of the demise of RVR. There was an all jazz station a commercial station in Philadelphia.
WHAT a long time ago. They're not in business doing that anymore. It's interesting. I don't really know the history of that and why it... But for a period of time, it was very popular because FM had just started to be popular. It was one of the few stations, and it was for stereo hi-fi nuts back when having a stereo was a big deal.
Okay, well, thanks so much for your phone call.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Hi, this is Fresh Air. You're on the air.
Yes. Well, I know that a lot of times I call radio stations and ask them to play old music like Stones. For example, Ruby Tuesday and Mother's Little Helper, really, really old stuff. And most of the stations I ask say, well, we can't play that because it's too old. And I'm a younger person, and I didn't get a chance to grow up with this music in the sense that I can't remember hearing it. And I know I and a lot of other people I know really enjoy hearing the older stuff, not the newer stuff that these groups put out. It all sounds like what the other stuff that's coming out. And I know that when I go to record stores, I don't buy new releases, I buy old albums. And I really enjoy hearing this old stuff, but I never do. And, like, when I have parties, and my friends have parties, we don't listen to new records. We listen to the records that our older brothers and sisters have packed away in the attic that are 10 years old that we rediscover. And it's really a shame because I think that's the really good stuff.
Okay, well, let's ask our guest to respond
well,
to that.
Well, I'll tell you, you really ought to be listening to WIOQ because most of the music we play is from the 60s.
Should I stop him now? You really should be listening to WMMR because we play a lot. We play that all the time.
Ed, your turn.
But you really should listen to me at night because I swear I've played Mother's Little Helper and Ruby Tuesday both in the past week.
Well, that is something that has happened in the last few years on rock stations. Everybody is programming records from the last 10 years as a regular part of the format.
Oh, I think it's very important. You know, music that older people grew up with and they love, and this person is absolutely right. I mean, it is great music.
I think it's more than nostalgia, though, at this point. I think that she's right on the head. She's got the idea. We're about to go through a big musical change. People are real fickle right now. People are looking back, and the biggest groups we play right now are The Doors and Jimi Hendrix and groups from the 60s. Mm-hmm. I mean, the music today, she's right. The music does all sound alike to a great degree. The record companies are based in New York and Los Angeles. And they're signing a lot of acts that come from clubs in New York and Los Angeles who come from the same sort of urban scenario. And it does sound a lot alike. I think we're about to hear something big happen, though.
I'd like to ask our caller, you said that you're rediscovering these records. So these records, you don't know it from when your older brothers and sisters played it. You've just found it for yourselves on your own?
Well, I don't have any other older brothers or sisters, but I remember my parents playing things like Bob Dylan because I remember being my parents tell me I was a year old and I knew every word to every song on Bob Dylan's greatest hits. And they used to play Beatles and stuff. And I vaguely remember that, but very little. And, until recently, I didn't know much about this music until I started finding these albums and listening to them. And I found that I really enjoyed them a lot and I listened to them all the time.
Okay, well, thanks so much for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, I'm just thinking back. I know when I was growing up and my parents were listening to Stephen Edie Gourmet, I never really went back to that. It always seemed when I was growing up that the kind of kids completely departed from the music that their parents listened to. So it's so interesting to hear something like that where someone's like going back to Bob Dylan or going back to early Rolling Stones records. It's very interesting.
Very interesting, because it's funny, because a lot of this music she's talking about, I know when she said all this old stuff, I'm sure there's a whole lot of stuff that she hasn't discovered yet that is wonderful music from, before that.
Even so, older stuff.
Right.
I know she'd like it.
Let's go back to the telephones. Hi, this is Fresh Air. You're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to know what the ratio between music time and commercial time is during the peak hours and how that's changed over the last 5 years.
Okay. I can give you specifics on WIOQ. I think we have 10 commercials an hour, and that doesn't even mean 10 minutes. It could be 30-second commercials. There are other things in there. There's station promos. There'll be news. There'll be sports. There'll be weather. But I'd say you probably hear about, between 40 and 45 minutes of music an hour.
Uh-huh.
Depending on whether you had news or not, I guess.
Does that answer it for you?
Yeah, how about MMR and WIST?
Well, at MMR, we basically have about the same. Radio stations, once again, it's a weird cross. It's a business. And it's also entertainment. The more commercials you have, the more money the station makes. However, you reach a point where it's no fun anymore. There's no music there. We have about the same policy. A certain number of commercial units an hour, and never any more than that. I mean, they just will not sell any more than that. And we try to keep it to the level that it is now, and it'll always stay there.
A pretty new development is the commercial-free half hours, which I think all the stations are getting into in one form or another. How did those come about? I was really astonished when I realized that people were intentionally leaving out commercials from a whole half hour of programming.
It's just squeezing it all around and putting it in a half hour, you know.
Should I tell her or should you?
Go ahead.
The same amount, they're there. It's the same amount. They're just stuffed in different places.
But that's not to negate the value of it. I mean, it gives you an opportunity to hear it. Sure. It's just your choice. And if you want to, the sponsor shouldn't hear this, but if you want to go away for a couple of minutes, you know you're going to have a second or two to run down and get another beer or whatever it is you're going to do, and I'll be back with a commercial-free half hour. So.
Okay. Just like TV.
I was just curious because it just seems over the last couple of years the ratio has really evened out. And it seems during the peak hours, say early morning or say around 5 o'clock, there's almost equal time.
That's not true. It's just because Michael talks a lot.
Okay, thanks so much for calling. Bye-bye now. Hi, this is Fresh Air. You're on the air.
This question can direct towards anything. Like you were saying before, you know, they play a lot of music from the 60s and all, and I was wondering what any of their ideas are, certain stagnation I seem to think of, like new talent and new sound. Like, I know there's like new wave and all coming out, but like when a lot of the groups came out in the 60s, it seemed like, I guess, they had more freedom to do, you know, what they could do with their music, you know, and although they were lesser known at that time, they really didn't reach their peak of, not say stardom, but like popularity till like the mid to late and early 70s, you know, when actually they'd already died off, you know. I was wondering why there's like a stagnation of, new talent coming out with the force that had come out in the 60s.
Well, Gary touched on that before. When music gets kind of boring and overproduced, say the producer comes in and producers kind of have control over the music for a while. This happened before Clapton and Hendrix. And then Hendrix came along and no one was going to produce him. He was so different and he just did what he wanted. And the producer kind of stepped in the background. And what was important was the artist. Well, we kind of got away from that, and it got back to the producers being very important. Disco is probably the height of that. It didn't matter who it was. It was the producer. So Gary was right before. We're probably on the verge of something. It's getting boring. It's all sounding the same, and that's probably producers' faults.
Yeah, that's true. And somebody, I forget who said it, but whenever there's a vacuum in the music industry, the industry fills it in, you know, whenever there's a vacuum in new music coming out. It seems like whenever there's like a stalling of that of productiveness, the money makers come in and start making their moves, I guess.
Well, it's something probably will be coming along, and you know, not necessarily synthesizer or guitar. It may be something totally from left field.
What about new wave? Don't you think maybe that's that thing that's come along and some of it's getting played and some of it's not getting played.
I just think it's rock and roll music, and a lot of it sounds the same.
It's in different aspects, but like you were saying, with definitely from different aspect of music, you know, like, because you can only do so much with a guitar, synthesizers, you know, to keep it still in that same boundaries of you know, whether it's rock and roll, blues, or jazz, or whatever, it's still in the confines of those instruments, you know.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. David, you wanted to add something.
Yeah, here's something very interesting I just heard about that is getting underway, and it is going to be a satellite network of video radio stations on cable, which means you would all day long, 24 hours a day, you'd be able to see rock video all segged together and hear the songs, one song after another. And I don't know that this may not be an important sort of a addenda to music and radio, but I don't think that necessarily means that where the music is going, but that is something that I think may be very important.
That's interesting. Our number is 923-2774 if you'd like to get through. We have a couple of open lines. We're at area code 215, and the number is 923-2774. Gary, you wanted to...
Sure. Can I step out on a limb here and say I don't think New Wave is the direction things are going at all, for a couple of big reasons. I talked about the spectrum idea, you know, the concerts that the people go to be at events and things like that. And New Wave, or the... Let's get away from the name. The stripped down two guitars, a bass, and drums kind of music doesn't fill that hall very well. It sounds thin. These people are used to hearing mega sound, sound enveloping them, sound that makes your chest thump, you know. That's part of the reason you go.
Maybe they're going away from going to the spectrum and they are going back to smaller places.
I don't think so. I
mean, well, like in England, the like new wave was all happening in these like underground basement type clubs, really small clubs that looked a lot like garages. Clubs. Well, there were a couple of clubs similar to that here, I guess, but it was a very, very small thing, and two guitars and a bass and drums would carry a lot in a place like that.
But if you talk to guys hanging on the railing at the Spectrum, drinking a beer or some Jack Daniels or whatever, they're not looking for an alternative to that. They like going out there with all those people and partying, as they say, and getting together. And well, I don't know. I just firmly believe, though, that music is going, for the good or not, into a grander, larger scale. Sort of thing.
All of what we're mentioning, we mentioned reggae before and how it didn't happen as far as mass appeal goes, but it did have an important effect. Rock group The Police, that's kind of a combination of reggae and rock, and Joe Jackson has some reggae in there. And New Wave, while it may not be happening in its present form, will probably merge with something else, probably rock and roll with a little reggae thrown in to formulate whatever's coming up down the road. People have to have a comfort zone. They weren't real comfortable with reggae right away, to use that for an example again. It was just kind of weird. But the Police had their rock and roll, and they had the basic guitar, bass, drums, and with the reggae beat, that was okay. And that was real good because they had already heard reggae before, and it was kind of comfortable. The first new wave that came out was very uncomfortable for a lot of people. It's just too weird. But then when something else came out that was almost like new wave but a little bit like rock, they were comfortable because they had heard the weird already.
So it's the stuff that's a little smoothed out kind of that homogenization of it. Tends to make it.
If you go to a club like, just because I happen to know it's there, Emerald City, when they do dances, they're dancing to new wave or whatever the next, as Michael was putting it, the next sort of more homogenized version of it. And everybody is dancing to it, and it's very popular as dance music. Now, I don't know what that means. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be, you know, a next craze.
Mm-hmm. But, and disco probably had an effect on that, even though people exactly. Kind of rejected it. That solid beat dance became familiar, and that kind of merged with rock, and you have the B-52s.
Exactly.
Okay, well, let's get back to the phones. Quick history. Hi, this is Fresh Air. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was wondering if these guys listen to the commercials on their shows. I'm a listener of IOQ and MMR as well as UHY, which is, of course, my favorite. But I wonder what do they do during the commercials, and how do they get a sense of what their shows sound like if they don't listen to the commercials?
They do listen to the commercials. They sing along.
I sing along on the air, as a matter of fact.
There's really not enough time to go and do anything while the commercials are on, is there?
Now, people on the air are doing a lot of things. While one thing is on, they're racing for the next record, finding the next commercials, figuring out what they're going to say next, and answering the phone. But generally, yeah, I think most people listen. I don't turn them down. I leave them up because I'm part of the audience, and I feel that I've got to be in the same mood as the audience are in. And if a commercial bothers me on the air, once again, I hope sponsors don't hear this, I tend to make fun of them if they're bad, if they deserve it. I don't make fun of the product, but if it's a particularly stupid type of delivery on the commercial, as far as a soda or something goes, I'll point it out because I feel I'm in the same position. I'm listening as well as the audience.
Okay, is that an answer for you?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot for calling. Hi, this is Fresh Air. You're on the air.
Hi, I was wondering if you could tell me, what is the difference between WMMR, WYSP, and WIOQ?
Ooh, that's how we started.
How would you describe the difference?
I have to look at the dial.
Really? You can't? You don't notice a difference?
Not at all.
Dave, you want to give us the capsule version of it?
That's funny, because as we were saying, I bounce around the dial a lot, and IOQ doesn't play as much new rock and roll, or as much rock and roll as MMR and YSP, and I'm down there at that end of the dial a lot in my car, bouncing around, listening to that stuff that I don't play so much, and I don't know if, you know, maybe they all come down to the softer end of the dial, so I think we're softer, and I can detect a difference. Maybe I'm just a trained ear, but I can detect a difference between their two stations, too, as opposed to one is more, I think YSP plays a little more rock and roll than MMR.
People that work in radio can figure that out a lot faster than people who listen to the radio, because it's our job. So we listen real critically. It's true, though, they did sound alike for a while. There were some slight differences, but I think now they're growing apart. I notice it a lot now, and you'll probably notice it a short ways down the road. But they are separating as far as the types of music and the types of person they appeal to.
Thanks very much for your call.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay. Hi, this is Fresh Air. You're on the air.
Yeah. I'm interested in making a career out of broadcasting.
No.
Specifically, DJ work. And a lot of the DJs I hear on radio, they don't sound like they've gone through regular college courses on broadcasting or anything like that. They sound like, you know, they just walked in and they asked if they could join the staff, and they were hired. And so I want to ask the DJs, is it better to go through a regular college course of broadcasting and have those credentials, or is it better to just go job hunting around the dial?
Get as many credentials as you can fast, because radio is not a very stable business. College is good, not for the radio, but for when you get dumped out of radio, which inevitably happens to all of us, you'll have something to fall back on. It's fun. I don't mean to put it down. It's a fun thing to do. It sure beats working. But the people that sound like that are actually probably very well trained, because you can identify with them. They sound kind of like you. And they're doing a lot. If you listen real closely, you'll find that while they sound like they're just kind of goofing off, they're actually giving you a lot of information in a very short period of time, which takes a lot of practice and takes a lot of training.
I think that most of the communication schools are for journalists, newspaper writers, people who are studying communications, but I think there's very few schools that train you to be a rock DJ, and I
didn't mean,
if there are schools that exist like that, I'd kind of wonder what they were doing, I think.
Oh, yeah, I would too, but no. I mean, you know, I meant specifically like a broadcasting course. Some colleges do offer that.
Oh, I see.
Sure, I think college radio is a great place to start. Where else
starting
can
at
you
a college station, that's what you're suggesting, yeah. Okay, well, there you go, there's a good suggestion. Thanks a lot for calling. Bye-bye. We'll have time for one more phone call. Hi, this is Fresh Air. You're on the air.
Yes, I had a question about jazz musicians. Jazz musicians' personalities don't seem to compare nearly as much as the rock personalities, which are very Hollywood, let's put it. My question is, if this happens in the video discs, do you think the jazz artists will completely be wiped out like the like the actors were when we switched from silent movies to talkies? In particular, we'll say the jazz artists that require a semi-rock audience, say like the old Mahavishnu Orchestra, for instance, where they had a lot of energy, but just didn't seem to draw the same crowd as, say, Yes. Maybe because Yes had words, but the dynamics were still there. I know it's an involved question, but...
Well, if you're regarding a video, and the silent movie analogy, the only actors that didn't cross over to talkies were the ones that had weird voices.
Well,
so to answer your question, really, from video, I mean, if they look really weird, they're probably not going to make it.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, that's a matter of personal taste as far as looks go, but I think you would agree that your rock crowd would probably tend to, like, say, dig Peter Frampton as compared to John McLaughlin just because he appeals to their, I don't know, their quality of aesthetics. In other words, it never really, I never really understood why a group like, say, John McLaughlin's group, for, I'll use him as an example throughout, with such power and intensity, who did draw a fairly good crowd, especially at places like the Spectrum, never really made it for whatever odd reason where the intensity was just or even surpassed.
Okay, let's see if we can respond to this.
Well, I think they, I'm confused because I think they did make it, and in many ways they opened up so many doors for fusion jazz that more than any other group, except for Weather Report, perhaps.
Yeah, well then why isn't it that the group that the groups don't get played, like saving maybe once a day? I very rarely ever hear, say, that one in particular group, which would appeal greatly to a rock audience. I mean, I know they're not together anymore, but...
That may have a lot to do with it. It may just be a function of time. They certainly did get a lot of play when they were in their prime.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for calling. We're running out of time. Bye-bye. You all, I think, have to do a certain amount of onstage work, hosting concerts, introducing acts, things like that. How much time do you spend backstage or at parties or whatever with performers?
I don't spend much time backstage, but I go to a lot of concerts when I'm not working 6 to 10 at night. I'd rather be out front, you know, with the crowd and whatnot. Yeah.
I go back. Sometimes record companies, as a courtesy, would like to introduce their act, their stars, to the local radio people. I know there are radio people that just love that. I mean, they wouldn't go out front if they wouldn't go unless they got free ticket. They have to have free tickets. They have to have lots of food. And they have to go backstage and meet, you know. But that's not it, because that's a warped perspective to me. I'm talking to people that are out front, so that's where I want to be. I want to be out front, so I don't really spend much time backstage at all.
I'm pretty uncomfortable in backstage situations. I like to go to hear music, and I end up seeing Gary everywhere I go. but I feel uncomfortable backstage because I feel the whole situation is artificial. This guy I'm meeting, I'm not really meeting him, he's promoting himself, I'm just another DJ, and I'd have to, you know, stand on my head to have him, to have a real conversation with this person, and it doesn't really mean that much to me. I'd rather see him do his act and let him live his life.
He's also working. When he's backstage, he's getting ready to work, and that's go on stage, and so the last thing he needs is a lot of people, you know, saying, hey, you're great, hey, wonderful.
You do meet the occasional guy almost as a reaction to that. You know, you'll find that you really take a liking to someone who may be a big, big star, because you go backstage and you find them going, get me out of here. I hate shaking people's hands. I just want to go out and, you know, and as a sort of a refugee situation, you know, it's nice.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're running out of time. I guess the final question here has to be to you, Gary and David, how many people do you think are going to be listening to your shows tonight with the World Series on?
Not me.
Oh, come on, Michael.
Neither one. Yeah.
I was sitting here doing the show last Friday with the game on, wondering exactly what was happening.
Well, I think 10 or 20 folks might be out there. Right?
Well, thanks to all of you for being here this afternoon. Thanks to our listeners for calling. I've been speaking with three rock DJs here in Philadelphia. With me has been David Dye of WIOQ, who's on the air from 6 to 10 in the evening. Gary Bridges from WYSP, also on the air from 6 until 10 in the evenings. Michael Picozzi of WMMR, who's on from 6 till 10 in the mornings. So thanks to all of you for being here, and thanks to everyone who called. My apologies to those of you whose calls we didn't have time for.